All right. Turn in your Bibles now tonight, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy. And I want to encourage you a little bit from a couple of verses here. And this is one of those verses that when you read it at first, it convicts you in two ways, physically and spiritually. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the last part of verse 7 and verse 8. I'll give you just a minute to get there. The last part of verse 7 says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Now, if you have a marginal note there, which if you use a Cambridge Bible is just wonderful for giving marginal notes and helping us understand, a little clarity of language and things like that. But in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth for a little time." Profiteth little doesn't mean it's not worth much. It means it's only temporal. It profits for a little time. It has some value, has value to us in this life, but godliness is profitable for all things. Let's pause just for a word of prayer. Father, help us now in our time together tonight to be encouraged to realize not only the value of taking care of ourselves physically, but the eternal value of taking care of ourselves spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen. These verses present to us the way to spiritual health. If you're growing weary of growing weary, here's where you're going to find some answers. Have you ever gotten to the place where, I know on these hot days, you know, this year we got spoiled. We really did. I mean, we had a lot of rain, and that made a lot of weeds and that sort of thing. But we just haven't had all that punishing hot weather that we usually have until this week. And boy, it showed up. And it has really been hot. And my wife really suffers in this hot weather, and so does Becky. They don't perspire normally because of the scar tissue on their bodies, and it just really makes them sick when it gets so hot. But they are glad it doesn't last long. You know, I just reminded myself of something else I was supposed to announce. Pause right there. 13th of September, we're going to have a work day. That's a Saturday, couple weeks down the road. We're going to have a work day starting Saturday morning. We'll give you announcements about it with the exact time later on until whenever we can't work any longer. But the weeds have just come in with a vengeance. And we've got some real testimony issues. Our maintenance people just have not been able to keep up with all of it, even though they've just been working diligently. But we've got a lot of limbs down. We've got a lot of trees that died as a result of the drought. We've got to cut some trees. I got one died over near the house over there that needs to come down. And so we got some trees, some limbs, some brush, some weeds. And we just got to do a little end of summer cleaning around our place. And a lot of this we haven't been able to do because it's just been too wet. But it looks like we'll have an opportunity here. So mark that down. Great opportunity for fellowship. It really is. And bring whatever tools you got. And we'll give you more announcements about it later on. We need all hands on deck for this work day, okay? And we're going to try to get it all cleaned up if we possibly can. Okay, back to the message here. Here in these verses, it tells us how we can deal with the stresses and the pressures that we're facing. Now, when the heat hits us, that's one thing. But when the heat hits us spiritually, that's another thing. The Lord wants you to come unto Him so He can give you rest. But this kind of rest is earned with effort that we read about here in these verses right here. Now, the truth of the matter is, if physical exercise was easy, more people would be in shape, don't you think? I mean, if it was easy to exercise, everybody would do it. If sweet, fat food didn't taste so good, fewer people would be overweight. My daughter-in-law was talking to me the other day, and she says, you know, somebody needs to make a fast food restaurant that's good for you, where busy moms could take their kids and get things that were good for them instead of fat, greasy food. She says, I should open a restaurant where they make, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I thought, I'm not real sure peanut butter and jelly sound that thing. I mean, I know peanut butter's good for you, but, you know, that doesn't sound like a great improvement there, Donna. But at any rate, she thought, you know, and you could get like little carrots and you could get all those little things that kids should eat. And I thought, you know, it really is a great idea. And so maybe she'll do that someday. But the truth is, you go to fast food and read those descriptions of what you're eating, and it'll discourage you. And I don't go to those places very often for that very reason. But a lot of people are overweight because the things that make you overweight taste good. You know, sleep is not so satisfying. More people would get up and get going, don't you think? But because people are in poor shape, they're overweight, they're weak, there's more sickness, more disease, more depression, even death. It affects us physically. A lot of the things that are wrong with people today are the result of bad choices. We all know that's true. And because people make those bad choices, they get high blood pressure. I know there are genetic issues involved and that sort of thing, but they get high blood pressure, they get high cholesterol, they have heart attacks, they have adult onset diabetes. They just have a lot of problems, don't you think? And people go to the doctor to cure them of things that often could be prevented. Now, I think we'd all have to admit that that's true. But healthy people are those who've learned to exercise and even enjoy doing what it takes to be healthy. People don't do what they ought to do to stay in shape because they think it's too hard. Right? And the same thing's true spiritually. But life is a lot harder when you're out of shape. Would you grant me that point? Life really is harder when you're not fit. And we know that's true physically. Let me tell you something. It's also true spiritually. When you're not in shape spiritually, life is harder. The Lord said it pretty simply. The way of the transgressor is hard. And when you're out of shape spiritually, life is harder than when you're out of shape physically. And you know what a frustration it is to have to stop at the top of the stairs and catch your breath. Well, there's a lot of folks that have to make the spiritual climb into certain situations, and they're out of breath spiritually. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. If you know the value of exercising physically, and you know you ought to do it, and you would if it wasn't so hard, think about the value of spiritual exercise. Verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little," or profiteth, "for a little time." It has some value, is what that means. Life is harder when you're out of shape, so we ought to exercise physically. But there's a burden in physical exercise. We know that regardless of how much we do it, it's not going to keep us alive forever. It's sort of like that concept of divine healing. Have you ever heard these folks that say, you know, if you just had enough faith, God would always heal you? But at some point in life, that stops working. Even faith healers die. You know, Catherine Kuhlman died in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know what's in Tulsa, Oklahoma? Oral Roberts is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, that's a sad thing when you think about somebody that's been teaching healing all their lives and then turn around and die where the most vocal proponent of faith healing in America lives. I guess if God's going to heal you, you know, He's only going to do it till you're about, you know, 110, you know, or so. Because the older you get, the less folks focus on that. Well, we know that most of that teaching is rooted in a misunderstanding of the Scripture anyway. I do believe that God heals people, but I don't believe in this charismatic healing movement that people are talking about today. And the same thing really operates with exercise. You know that you can't exercise yourself into living forever. What was that fellow that started the jogging craze years ago? What was his name? Was it Bob Fix? Wasn't that his name? The fellow died of a heart attack jogging. If anybody in America was in shape, it was him. But he went the way of all flesh. So when we think about the fact that bodily exercise profits for a little time, there's a certain amount of limitation that's built into that. And that burden is accompanied by the fact that it hurts when you do it. But here, think about this. I appreciate what Paul is teaching here because there's such illustrations in physical exercise. The more you need it, the harder it is to do it. Is that true? Sure it is. The more you need physical exercise, the more it hurts, the harder it is. And the same thing is true spiritually. The more you need spiritual exercise, the harder it is to do. I read a book some years ago by a fellow named Richard Shelley Taylor called The Disciplined Life. Now, I read it from front to back. But when I got to the last chapter, which was the chapter on the solution to getting a disciplined life or something like that, I don't remember the exact title of it. It's been many years since I read it. I started reading that chapter, and he started the chapter this way. Now, for all of you undisciplined folks who have turned to this chapter first, go back to the beginning of the book and start reading there. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I could just see a lot of people opening up the index or the table of contents and looking through and saying, now, is there anything in here that's going to help me? How to get a disciplined life? All right, let's just cut to the chase. Go right to the end of the chapter. You know, I want it easy. I want it quick. I want it now. I want to take a spirituality pill. I want to eat an apple and be like God. Right? That's what everybody's wanted since the Garden of Eden. They want to make it real easy. You know, I remember when I was a little fella, my brother and I used to read comic books. And sometimes on the back of that comic book, there would be a picture of Charles Atlas. Remember that? And he had his muscles all flexed out like that, you know. And there was an ad where you could send in and learn how to get these muscles that he had. And I remember the ad had the words, free muscles, on the front of it. And I thought, free muscles? Boy, oh boy. You know what? There aren't any free muscles. They'll cost you. They really will. That's why I look the way I do. That's probably the reason you look the way you do, too. But everybody wants it easy. They want the good result, but they want it easy. I really believe that's one of the reasons, if not the main reason, that churches are taking the direction that they are in droves today. Free spirituality. Easy spirituality. Enjoyable Christianity. Come to church and be entertained. That's what it means. In other words, no pain, just gain. And that's the way it is in our lives, physically as well as spiritually. The more you need it, the harder it is. And there's another principle about physical exercise. The more you need it, the more often you have to do it. I mean, you need more of it. A lot of times people will set out on a program of exercise and they'll start out doing so much that they will nearly injure themselves the first day or two. And then they'll think, I can't do this. This is too hard, because they've started out with the impossible. They want to get there too fast. And you've got to just plug along and be patient. So there's a burden to it, but there's also a benefit to it. It profiteth little. That means it has some value. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Have you ever noticed that to be true? If you'll get into a program of taking care of yourself, there is some benefit to it. It profiteth little. It has a little value. And if you'll keep doing it, you'll begin to get stronger. And you'll begin to have easier breathing, and your body will take on a new vigor. You'll sleep better. You'll eat better. You know that's true? I know some people that get sick an awful lot. And sometimes I wonder if it's really that necessary for them to be that sick. I think a lot of people get sick because they worry too much. And they just don't have the joy of the Lord. Now, I mean, there are people that probably get sick for reasons that are totally unknown to me. I'm sure that's true. But, you know, I think if people would get rest and eat reasonably and keep moving and have a right attitude, that seems like it would help a little bit, don't you think? It's working for me, you know, and pray and stay right and don't consume yourself. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And here's another thing. The more you do it, the less you need it as a crisis response. The less you'll need to respond as a crisis. In other words, there might be times when you're not feeling real well, but you don't have to get into some big crisis repair. A lot of people need repair work on a crisis, before a crisis, in their spiritual lives. And it seems like the only time they ever get any principles is when they've had a crisis and they come to a counselor who will give them principles. I'll have people come to see me, and, Pastor, my life's in turmoil, I got to talk to you. And they'll come to see me, and I'll sit down, I'll give them some Bible principles, and they'll say, oh, you've been such a help. Oh, I appreciate that so much. And I'm thinking, you know, you could have this every day. You could get this out of the Word every day. You really could. Now, I'm glad to do that for you. But I don't want you to think that you need to wait until you're in a crisis and then come and get the help that you need. You need that every single day. You know, a man who's been starved through some circumstance, he's not going to be able to eat very much the first time you feed him. If he's been starved for several weeks, he's going to have to eat very slowly and take something very mild. And it's that way a lot of times with principles, too. You can't give them very much because they're not healthy enough to take it. But even that will strengthen them. Have you ever noticed that the folks among us who are the most fit are those who had a heart attack within the last 2 years? Why? Because they're exercising, that's why. Because they know, man, I don't want to go through that again. If that happens to me, I'm liable to die, so I'm going to get in shape. So oftentimes when people have a heart attack, they'll lose weight, they'll get on an exercise program, and a couple of years after they have their heart attack, they look better than they have for the last 20 years. I talked to a friend of mine who had just had quadruple bypass surgery a few years ago, and he said, I'd recommend that surgery for anybody. I've never felt this good in my life. You know, and what he means by it is that he's been forced to get into shape and he's feeling better. But don't you notice how sometimes it takes something like that to force us to deal with what we have to deal with? Now, folks, listen, don't wait until you have a spiritual heart attack to get into spiritual shape. If you know how dangerous it is to take risks with your body, think about what a foolish thing it is to risk eternal rewards or even eternal life by fooling around spiritually and not getting yourself in the shape that you ought to be. Now, since life is harder when you're out of shape, you know you have to do something physically. But listen, life is harder when you're out of shape spiritually. So you have to exercise yourself spiritually. Look what he says in verse 8. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. If you get physical exercise, that'll help you while you're still alive. But if you exercise yourself spiritually, that'll help you while you're alive, and it'll help you in eternity, too. So it has a lot more value. Spiritual exercise is so much more important. Why? Because there's a better benefit in it. It's profitable unto all things. It doesn't just have a little value. It has a lot of value. It has value for all of life. The blessings of discipline apply to every area of life. You know, sometimes we're very unsympathetic with undisciplined people. People who tend to be disciplined are very unsympathetic with undisciplined people. Think, well, they brought it on themselves. Can you imagine what it's like to live that way? That's a heartbreaking situation to see people they've just never learned the benefits of discipline. And it's very frustrating. You see, I mean, they don't pay their bills and they're always having their power and their phone cut off and all this kind of thing. And they consume more than they earn. And they're just always in miserable situations. Can't hold a job. You know, it's a sad thing to see people that are undisciplined people. It really is. And they're always tearing their things up, tearing up what they own. And you know, you go by the house of the slothful man and it looks like Faith Baptist Church this summer. It's all grown over with weeds. But now I think everybody's having the weed problem this summer because it's rained so much we haven't been able to get them up. But, you know, it's through slothfulness that the house droppeth through. You know, not only does it leak, but the thing starts to deteriorate and things begin to fall apart. You ever notice things like that? They're always tearing their equipment up and tearing up their house and breaking things and consuming everything they have. And my son and I were talking about that the other night, and we were talking about the effect of sin. Have you ever noticed a person who's lived a wicked, sinful life, smoking and drinking and carousing and staying up all night and those kinds of things? Have you ever noticed what those folks look like when they're about 40? They look like they're about 60. You know, the people I'm talking about, their skin looks like leather, and they've just consumed their vessel, and they haven't taken care of themselves, and they can't serve God as effectively or as long because they've just worn themselves out with profligate living. Undisciplined life is a horrible way to live, and it affects you not just physically, it affects you spiritually. And there are some great blessings in discipline. And then if you can develop spiritual discipline, then you'll also begin to develop spiritual discernment and the blessings of discernment that come through discipline are valuable benefits indeed. You know, people who go to church a lot, like you, people who read the Bible a lot, like you, people who listen to preaching a lot, like you, are people who know some things that your neighbors don't know. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever talked to your co-workers or to your neighbors or even some of your family members? And you think, oh, if you could just get in church and learn some truth, that would change your life. Have you ever taken a loved one that you care about that's just ignoring his spiritual life? And you think, boy, if I could just sit you down for about 6 months and teach you some of the things we've been learning, it would help your life. And sometimes the reason people get discouraged is they'll come to church once or twice and they'll think, man, I just got too much ground to cover. I've heard people say, oh, I'm too far gone. I got too much work to do. In other words, they just as soon enjoy being out of shape spiritually as they would go through all the work to get in shape spiritually. The same thing's true spiritually as it is physically. I mean, it when you think about what rotten shape you're in, you think, boy, that depresses me. Now I'm all discouraged. I need something to cheer me up. I think I'll have another piece of cake. You know, I mean, that's the way people think, isn't it? I mean, that makes me happy right now. Heard a fellow talking about procrastination one time. He says, hard work pays off in the long run, but procrastination pays off immediately. You know? And that's why so many people do it. But it doesn't pay off, ultimately. You put things off and ignore them, and they're not going to go away. They're just going to get worse. Here's a fellow got a bill he can't pay, so he just hides it from himself. What do you think? The thing's going to just disappear or pay itself? And then when people start to call, he asks his wife to answer the phone. Tell him I'm not here. And all that kind of thing. And after a while, it just erodes his character. But if a fellow will make up his mind, I'm going to take leadership, I'm going to take responsibility in every area of his life, it'll start to improve. Being a disciplined person helps you to become a discerning person and understanding how truth applies. And eventually, your life will begin to improve. You'll start to get into shape spiritually. And you'll find yourself able to help other people with their spiritual needs. So there's a better life for people who exercise spiritually. And then there's an eternal benefit in spiritual exercise as well. What does he say? He says, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The life that now is means you will be more useful to God if you'll exercise yourself spiritually. And you will be able to rejoice with God someday because of the way you lived your life. You'll have a better reward if you'll do that. Using a synonym of this word that talks about exercise here in Acts 24:16, Paul says, herein do I strive. It means I work at this thing. I exercise myself. If you're going to be spiritually healthy, you have to eat the right things. That means not eating the wrong things. Right? You know why most people don't eat in a more healthy manner? Because they've developed a taste for unhealthy eating. You know why more Christians don't eat spiritually? What would make them spiritually strong? Because they've developed a taste for carnal things. Things that don't make them spiritually strong. They like the entertainments of the world. They like the world itself. Rather than what the Bible has to offer. And that's why they make foolish decisions. That's why they get themselves into trouble. We asked prayer for a young couple this evening. Listen, a few years ago, we were trying to talk to them about what was coming if they made the decisions they did. Now, here they are. You see? There are some spiritual laws just like there are physical laws. I mean, you take any 10 people in this room to the tallest building in Greenville. Now, you can take an old person and a young person, and a rich person and a poor person, a big person and a little person, and you stand them all up on the ledge and jump off. How many of them are coming down? They're all coming down. Why? Because of the law of gravity. That's a physical law. And it always works. There are some spiritual laws, too. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is the spiritual law. And there are an awful lot of people today that are, like my mother used to say, sowing their wild oats and praying for a crop failure. Well, what you sow is what you'll reap. You'll reap later than you sow, but you'll reap more than you sow, and you'll reap what you sow. That's a spiritual law. And you can't get around it. And sometimes when people start to reap what they sow, then that's when they start having real grief in their life and wishing they'd done differently. But you've got to not develop a taste for the wrong things, develop a taste for the right things. You have to exercise by practicing the right things in your spiritual life. And that means not practicing the wrong things, not doing what will hurt you spiritually. You have to educate yourself on what's right and what's wrong, which means you have to learn how to exercise. You have to learn how to take care of yourself spiritually. Now, you and I have some wonderful opportunities to do that. And we need to work hard at it. Shortly after I got saved, the fellow that led me to Christ drew a little diagram on a piece of paper. It was like an old wagon wheel that just had four spokes, you know, so a primitive wheel here. But he said, you need to see your life like this wagon wheel. And he drew the circle that represented the wheel. And then he drew four spokes. He said, now, if you don't have all four spokes in place, your wheel is not going to roll. Now, if the wheel represents your life, those four spokes represent your responsibilities. And he said, your responsibilities can be defined in terms of relationships. Remember what the Lord told us in Matthew 22? We've studied that passage many times. He said there in verse 36, when the lawyer came to him and said, what's the most important or what's the great commandment of the law? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others defines our responsibility in relationships. So he said, now take a look at your wheel. In fact, if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper and you're given to taking notes, you ought to jot this down because this is a helpful little diagram. Just draw a circle there. Draw a little circle and then draw a cross in the middle of it. So you got four spokes on your little wheel there, okay? Now on that one that's pointing up, write down God. Your relationship with God has to be maintained if your wheel is going to roll, okay? Because that is the most important spoke you've got. The Lord said that in Matthew 22. Your relationship with God. Now that means you need to be saved, of course. And it also means you need to be growing in your spiritual life. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior and spend time in the Word of God, which is how God helps you to grow spiritually, your spoke on that side of the wheel is not going to be strong, or it's not even going to be there. So if you're a Christian, you say, well, I've got that spoke. No, now that you're a Christian, you have a new responsibility. To keep that spoke in shape, you've got to cultivate a relationship with Christ through the Word of God and prayer on a regular basis. And if you really want to know who you're trusting, I heard Pastor Shoemate say this years ago, if you really want to know who you're trusting, take a look at your prayer life. Self-reliant people that trust themselves don't pray. Why should they? Just do it themselves. They only pray when a crisis comes. Crisis comes into their life, then they'll call out to God. Or to their Christian friends or to whoever, because I got to have help now, I'm in trouble. You see. But otherwise, the attitude is, Lord, don't call me, I'll call you. So you've got to cultivate your relationship with the Lord. Now, the other three spokes of that wheel represent other relationships you have with people. Let's take the one that's pointing down. Let's put family beside that. Okay? Or out there at the end of it. You've got to cultivate a relationship with your family because those are the people that you're closest to, that you have to spend time with, that you have the greatest responsibility for. You can usually tell if a person really has a burden for souls by whether they have a burden for their lost family members. I mean, people who really understand what happened to them when they got saved immediately want their family to be saved, don't they? I mean, they'll witness to mom and dad and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. I think that really the Lord does that, burdens us in that way for several reasons. Number one, He wants you to reach your family. And number two, He wants you to go practice on people that are going to love you regardless of how bad you do it. See, because when you first get saved, you might not be real gentle with people. That's the way I was. I thought, boy, I mean, my family needs what's happened to me. And I just jumped in there with both feet and stomped all over them. And because we were family, you know, they couldn't just write me off. They had to be patient with me. And thank the Lord they did. Because, I mean, if I'd gone and treat strangers the way I talked to my family, I would have probably gotten beat up or something. Or at least they would have cut me off. But I talked to my family, and they talked back to me and said, now hold it right there. You know, and they began to talk to me. And I thought, you know, I am coming on too strong here. I've got to be more gentle. I've got to be more prayerful. I've got to be more patient. Anybody here have that experience besides me? You learn how to witness by witnessing to your family improperly? Okay, right, so did I. Okay, and then you got to be patient with people. Well, that may be one of the reasons the Lord does it. But you've got to work with your family. You've got to love your family. You've got to have a right relationship with your family. Let me tell you something. If you've got unresolved conflict with anybody in your family that you have not tried your best in the power of God to correct, you're never going to have what God wants you to have until you do that. Now, I understand sometimes that there are family squabbles that are well nigh impossible to take care of. But you can always be a godly Christian in those relationships. But if you've got bitterness or offenses that you've never tried to correct with your family, you're hindering your entire life by not taking care of that. You really are. You have got to have a right relationship with your family. If you're still living with your mom and dad, you need to honor them by submission to their authority. If you're not still living with your mom and dad, you need to honor them with your love and your loyalty and care. You ought to contact your brothers and sisters. Love them and communicate with them. And I know sometimes family relationships can be very, very painful. But if you've got unresolved issues with your family and burdens for them, then there's a way to fix that. There's a way that you can honor Christ in your family relationships. So you need to spend a lot of time with God. You need to spend necessary time and have a right relationship with your family. And then what are the other two spokes? The other two spokes are all the rest of the people in the world. And they're two groups. On one side, put saved people. Now, you know what? Here at Faith Baptist Church, we love to do that, don't we? We really love to come and spend time with saved people. We love to sing with them. I mean, we sing with each other when we wouldn't sing with some of our family, right? Because we like to do that together. We like to come and pray together. We like to listen to preaching together. We like to have pie on next Sunday night together. And we love to do those kinds of things. And that's important. You need fellowship with saved people. In order to be a healthy Christian, you need fellowship with saved people. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25 tells us. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more we need each other. Aren't you thankful that somebody came up with the idea of a midweek service? Now, I know in the New Testament they met every day. It seems that they did. But the realities of life now would keep us out of church because of work and pressure and travel and all those kinds of things and so many things going on. But to come to church in the middle of the week and just have a little time of encouragement and be with our Christian friends and pray kind of gets our batteries charged up a little bit and gets us through the rest of the week. That's an important thing. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're faithful to it. And all the other people that are out doing all the things they're doing here around our campus tonight. You need Christian people. I think all of you realize that. There may be some people that aren't here tonight that don't realize that. But they need it too. And if you can be here, you ought to be here. Well, who's on the other side? We've got one more spoke left. We've got a spoke for our relationship with God. We've got a spoke for our relationship with our family. We've got a spoke for our relationship with our Christian friends. Who's the other spoke for? Lost people. And boy, there is the missing spoke in a lot of people's lives. You will never be the kind of Christian that you ought to be unless you're exercising yourself in that area too. If you're leaving out that relationship, you are not exercising one of the things that will make you spiritually strong. And that's a big problem here in our area. Why? Because we can sure fill up our schedule in a hurry with those others. And we just don't have that much opportunity. Listen, many of you people work with people that are saved and have been saved for a long, long time. And if we don't make opportunities to make contact with lost people, then we're not going to have opportunities. And some of you, I mean, you come to church and you live in a Christian environment. Those of you who are part of the university family have a real struggle with this. I know you do. And so every now and then somebody will come through here with an idea of putting together a Christian directory. I've told you about this before. We want to list all the Christian plumbers and all the Christian electricians and all the Christian painters and all the Christian whatever. And we're all going to help each other. So we're not going to have any contact with the lost people. Is that what you're saying? And I've never really been enthusiastic about those kinds of ideas. If I were you, I'd pick some places to do business, and I would patronize those things regularly to develop relationships with some people on purpose. I try to go to the same places to do the same kind of business so I can meet some people and have a word of witness to them. And I was witnessing some guys over at the car wash today, getting my wife's car cleaned up. And I know the one fellow's name's Bo. He lives real near here. He's gotten wood off our property. He walks his dog over here. And there's another fellow that's one of the managers over there. And I struck up a conversation with him today. And he goes to a church that I used to go to. And I didn't know he was a Christian. But I was talking to him, and we were talking about, I don't know if you've ever been over to the car wash over here in Wade Hampton, but the vast majority of the men that are employed there are Hispanic. And we just happen to have an outreach going to Hispanic people. And their boss knows about it now. Okay. And so, I mean, boy, that's a right place to go after and get some guys, don't you think? So we're working on that. But because I always go over there to get my car cleaned up, I know those guys, and we've got an inroad for them now. And so we're going to start working on that and see if we can get something going. Wouldn't it be something? Maybe we could even get a little morning Bible study going on over there. Hey, pray with me about that. Don't let the cat out of the bag. I haven't talked to anybody yet. But what am I saying? I'm saying you've got to do something to find some people that need the gospel and have some contact with those people, whether it be your neighbors. Anybody in here ever live in a place where when you moved into the neighborhood, some neighbor brought you something over, brought you a pie or something like that? Anybody ever live? Yeah, it's probably been a while since that happened, hasn't it? Okay, maybe. But if it's happened recently, you know, that used to happen a lot in America. I'll never forget one night. Bernie Fitzgerald and I were remodeling that old house I lived in over in Pole Mill for about 17 years. And it was a mill house. We bought it. And we were trying to rebuild it and get it all ready. My wife is still in the hospital. Becky's in the hospital. And we'd be over there working way late at night. And one night about 1 o'clock in the morning, we were over there, had the saws and everything going. And I heard a knock on the door. And I thought, that's got to be the sheriff telling us to knock off the noise. And so I went to the door, and it was my neighbor. And we lived beside her for all those years, bless her heart. And she was holding a sweet potato pie and a half a gallon of milk. And she said, now, I don't know if you've ever eaten sweet potato pie, but if you haven't, you've missed out. But she brought over this delicious sweet potato pie and this half gallon of milk. And I said, well, what are you doing up this late? And she says, well, I couldn't sleep. And I thought, I wonder why. But all this noise. And she said, I got to thinking you boys might be hungry. And so I made you up a sweet potato pie. And I said, well, that was mighty sweet of you. And she says, well, listen, I just want to keep you going because I want you to get moved in just as soon as you can. We're glad to have you in the neighborhood. Well, that was a blessing. And you know what? It was a rebuke, too. You know, things like that. I mean, suppose somebody moves into your neighborhood. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you might go over and welcome them to the neighborhood and maybe take a sweet potato pie or something over to them? Don't go 1 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, I mean, be neighborly. Your coworkers, your neighbors, people that you do business with, things like that. Folks, you and I have to keep that spoke on the wheel in shape. And I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of Christian people in Greenville that got a big lump in their life. You know, every time they come around on that short spoke, you can tell. It's like hitting a big old rock in the road or something like that. And maybe one of the things that you need to get things rolling smooth in your life is to exercise each one of those relationships properly. And to make sure your relationship with God's in shape. Make sure your relationship with your family's in shape. Make sure your relationship with saved people's in shape. Make sure your relationship with lost people's in shape. And if you'll concentrate on those four areas and exercise yourself in them, you'll probably get most of the things done that you need to get done. So, if you know you ought to be in shape and you know life's harder when you're not in shape, take an inventory and ask yourself where you're neglecting your responsibilities and go to work on it. And if you need any help, there'll be plenty of other folks here to help you with it, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and love to us, for the opportunity to think about this tonight. Help us to be diligent, to exercise ourselves spiritually in the same way we know we ought to physically. In Jesus' name, amen.